Perek Yichas over here. We said what happens in the beginning of the Perek. We said what happens when the father is a tzaddik, the son is a Rasha, and the grandson will then become a tzaddik. That even though the son's going to be a Rasha and you wonder where it came from, don't worry, your tzidkus will last, that your grandson ends up being a tzaddik. That's what it's going to be. And now we're going to say how everybody has to do tshuva. So here's what we have to chapal. But Rasha ki yashmi kol chatosef. When a Rasha returns, does tshuva from all the sins of shalas v'shamas kol chosev v'asamish v'tzaka. Chayu yichel lo yamus. He will live. He will not die. He's promising. In other words, you think that the Rasha is just going to be gone, etc. He has a chance. He's always given a chance to do tshuva. Kol pshav asher also lo yizachul. All the sins that he did will never be remembered for him. V'tzikas asher also yichyeh. All of those things that he did, he will live for. In other words, the tzidkus that he does. The amazing thing is that it's literally like washing the tape. Like you have a recording of what somebody did, and it's like somebody erased it and re-recorded as if you did something that was right. That's the amazing part behind what the video looks like, so to speak, when a person does tshuva. That's what Hashem says. Achopet achbot mos rasha. You think I want the rasha to die? Hashem Elokim. I wanted to do tshuva from his different ways and to live that way. That's what I really want everybody to do. That's a famous pasuk, obviously, and that's quite a bit. It's mentioned quite a bit. Meshuv tzadik b'tzikas v'asa avel. If a tzadik then goes back from his tzidkos and does evil, the kol toivo kechol toivo shor also a rasha yasev akoy. Right, that all the abominations that the rasha does and still lives. Kol tzikos v'asa also lo tzikas zacharna. On the other hand, all the goodness that the guy does will never be remembered. The malash ramal because of all the evil that he did. B'chatzas v'asa chater bam yamus. V'amartik. What are you talking, Derek Hashem? Right, that doesn't make any sense. This way of God. Shimon abeisro. Listen, Beis Yisrael. Hadarki lo yitachein. Do you think my ways are not right? Hello, darkeichem lo yitachenu. It's your ways that are not right. That's a good answer to anybody, right? No, not me. It's you. But the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care according to where the person is right now and where he's holding.
Assuming that person is never in a constant state, mm-hmm. and you're going two steps forward, I mean one step back at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person dies, they might be on the Yerida as opposed to their Aliyah. So then what happens?
That's a good call. I think it depends on what you're doing and how much evil you've done. If you're taking the one step back, that might be okay. But if you're saying, like, you know what, I regret everything I did in my whole life, that's a problem.
Okay.
Then yeah, you died in a horrible way. That's a horrible way. But I don't think we're talking about somebody like that. Usually it goes, we're not talking about somebody that evil. The Shuv Tzadik Mitzikas also Mesa Lehem. A tzaddik goes back from his sitkos and does evil, he dies for them. The Avlosh or also Yamus, because of that evil that he does, he will die. But Shuv Rosh Mirshal, so then Pasakov Zion, when the Rosh goes back from his evil, Shuv Rosh Mirshal, who has Nafshi Yechayed, then he will live. But Yerav Yashav Mikop Shuv Rosh Mirshal, he will see what he has to do, does Shuv from the Chayo Yechel Lo Yamus, Amru Beis Tzro, when he's talking to Derech Hashem, still Beis Tzro are going to say, that doesn't make any sense. How could you allow this Rosh Mirshal? Azra Chaylo, you talking to Beis Tzro, Azra Chaykam, what are you talking? It's not mine, it's yours. Same exact line that they're going to say for the Rashayim. I'm going to judge each man individually, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Therefore you should do tshuva for all your sins. There will be no stumbling through sin. Throw away all of your sins that you've done. Make for yourself a brand new heart, ruach chadash, and a new spirit. That way you will not die. Therefore, as I said before, I don't desire the death of the dead. Those people that are already Rishayim, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, just do tshuva and things will go well. That's the end of Perek Yichas. It's a line. I said it before. The real line is what we said up above. It's Achapot Echbot Mos Rasha Nu Mashem Elokim Halo B'Shuvo Midrachav V'Chaya. That's the line that we said.
No, that's the reason.
I don't remember. No, I don't believe.
Well, you can see it on the side. This is not a Haftorah that we say at any time, correct? Yeah, there would be the little things over there.
No, I don't know where this is from, but it's a famous line.
Quoted in Nida.
Yeah, it's quoted in Nida.
Ayin on a base.
I can help them once we see it inside. All right, Park Yotas, we're going to see. Kings did evil. They're going to be considered like lions in this park, and they were destroyed. The police also did evil. They're going to be the grapevines. So here we go. Now you should lift up a lamentation, he says to Yechezkel, over the princes of Israel. Your mother was a lioness, Bena Rayos, among all the lions. She lied down among the young lions. She had many cubs around them. She was one who was not afraid to be among the big lions. One of those cubs got up. He was a young lion. He learned how to tear things apart. Adam achal, and he consumed man, stole from people, took from people. That's the nimshal. And he spots. right? And the non-Jews, I think the other nations of the world, this is referring to Paro Melech Mitzrayim, they used hooks and they captured him, right? And they brought him down to the land of Mitzrayim with all these hooks, and they grabbed this little lion, Atera Kino Chawa. So Bnei Yisrael saw that they were very sick, and others, Bnei Yisrael saw that they were missing something. Of the Tikvasa, they were losing their hope. They took another lion and they made him into the king, into the head lion. Now, this could be a reference to what was happening by the times of Yo-Yachin. Yo-Yachin was the son of Yoshia. He became king. He was a good king. Yo-Yachin was not a bad king at all. But Nebuchadnezzar, I guess, here is represented by the Mitzrayim. Now, there's no question about that. Yo-Yachin was still... Was that Yo-Yachin or Yo-Yachin?
Yo-Yachin was the first one. He did it. It was really...
Yo-Yachin was the first one. Yo-Yachin was only for 3 months or whatever.
Yeah, but
he was the younger brother.
Yeah.
He was the older brother, actually. There's no question Yo-Yachin. I don't remember about Yo-Yachin. Yeah. Yo-Yachin was considered
both bad.
Yo-Yachin and Sanhedrin was considered still a tzaddik. He just wasn't like his father, Yoshia.
Why?
That was the difference. Probably because he wasn't like Yoshia and he didn't do as good. But yeah, what were you going to say, David?
The Nisiei Yisrael redactors are Yo-Achaz, Yo-Yachin, and Sikia.
Yo-Yachin and Sikia, so all three of them.
Yo-Yachim
and Sikia. Wait, but we mentioned Yo-Yachim over here as being Kfir Samasu. That's Yo-Yachim.
What does he say?
Because he's going to talk about all three of them. Right, but right now we're talking about Yo-Achaz. Yo-Achaz is Yo-Yachin. Okay, see, he's the first one. He was the good king. Yo-Yachim was the evil one. They made him into a lion because his younger brother was already captured and brought out.
The lion is not a reference to Nebuchadnezzar?
No, in this case, the lions are referring to the kings of Israel. The people from Yehuda. Yehuda was also a lion, remember. So that's the way it goes. He went among the other lions, but he was still young and inexperienced, and he learned how to do things. He consumed people, right? What does that mean? He knew his widows,
their widows.
That's interesting. With the
he
widows,
killed them
who?
And slept with their wives.
Killed who?
Whoever he killed. He devoured men.
That's interesting. Right, the Aram Acharif, and he killed, destroyed
he
their city.
He raped silver women and killed their husbands.
That's what it refers to. I don't even remember Yo-Yachin doing that. That's interesting. Yeah.
It says he did evil twice.
Yo-Yachin. Yo-Yachin?
Yeah.
What did he do?
It says, it's not a lot. It says, Ben-Ezim v'shalosh anah Yo-Yachaz ben-al-chorosh v'shachar jimach v'yirsham shimolach. Okay, he was king for them.
Uh-huh.
V'yat hara b'nei Hashem, like all of his fathers. So Paro put him in prison in Rivla. And he punished the land for what he asked for 100 talents of silver and gold, and then Yo-Yachin became king, right?
Yo-Yachin.
What? Yo-Yachin, I'm sorry. And
Yo-Achaz is Yo-Yachin.
Right, and he was 25 years old. And
if we remember correctly, Yo-Yachin was the one that ended up being taken as prisoner out to Nebuchadnezzar. He's the one.
Who was king after him?
Remember, he is the future progenitor of all Malchus David. Sidkiah lost all of his kids. Yo-Yachin also died, right? And then, am I messing up? Maybe Yo-Yachin is the son of Yo-Yachin?
No, Yo-Yachin is...
I'm thoroughly confused at this point.
Hey, you
I have no
bed.
Idea who anybody is at this point.
You know what? No, sir, maybe that's
not his
case. Let's look at the back when we do it. Here we go.
No, he's got to be...
Then it's my bad. Yo-Yachin is the son of Yo-Yachin.
Right.
Yo-Achaz was the one who was only king for 3 months. So let's go. Yoshia was king for 31 years. The oldest of the four sons of Yoshia, I'm sorry. The oldest of the four sons, right, some say three, it depends if Matanya and Sidkiah are the same person. The oldest of Yoshia was Yo-Yachin. Okay? He was the second king. The reason why Yo-Achaz was anointed, because Yo-Yachin was so bad, but apparently Yo-Achaz was also bad. He was king for 3 months. Then Yo-Yachin was king for 11 years. Right. He's the one that tattooed Hashem's name on that part of the body. He's the one that did all the evil, but they were both evil in that way. Yo-Yachin, son of Yo-Yachin, was the one who became king after Yo-Yachin was killed. Yo-Yachin, remember, was killed on the road to Babel. And Yo-Yachin was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar. He's the one that was brought in jail and taken out by Evel Merodach when Nebuchadnezzar died. His kids are the future progenitors of Mashiach. He's the one. Sidkiah's kids all died. Yoachaz's kids all died. Yoyakim, other kids, died. The only one that survived was Yoyakim. He had a kid in jail by Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm forgetting what the name of that kid was. But that was Yoyakim, and he was the one to survive.
Anything very far. So the first thing is that Rabbi Hashem told us of Aviv, meaning everything, like everything, is father Yoyakim, and all the midrashim about the horrible.
Right, horrible. But Yoyakim is not mentioned in those Gemaras. It was Yoyakim that was supposed to be good. That could be true, but nonetheless, maybe it was more Muslim than we have. Remember, we have that by Tzidkiah also, even though we know that Tzidkiah was named for Tzidkus. Yeah, either way, but Yoyakim was considered to be a good king, as opposed to, but wasn't as good as everybody else. But he's one. So now let's look through. So again, we have Ramach Riva Tesham Aratim Loa. He destroyed the land, Mikol Shagas, from all of his roars. This Yoyakim, right, who was king, by Neu Alav Goyim Saviv Medinos, the Beinu Alav, they put all the nations came around from all the Medinos, the Yifrisu Alav Rishdom, they spread their nets over him, the Shachtam Nispas, and they destroyed, right, Nispas, and he was captured. By Neu Bisugar Bachachim, he's thrown in jail with hooks. By Beu Amel Babel, Yibu Vamatzados, they brought him the king of Babel, they brought him in traps. Uman Lo Yishamakolo Ode El Ari Yisrael, he would never be heard again in the mountains of Yisrael. Okay. Yoyakim died on the way there. That was a famous thing that ended up happening. Imcha kagefen bidomcha. So your mother, this is again part of the lamentation, kagefen bidomcha, is going to be compared to grapevines. Almayim shesula, they're planted above water. In other words, they're growing by water. Poria, right? They're going to go ahead and be fruitful or whatever it is. Vanefa with branches. Haisim imayim rabim, made out of many, many different waters. Yula matos oz el shifte moshlin. She is going to have lots of strength from all the rulers, but she's going to have a lot of height on all the other trestles that are around, and all the other trestles, it's going to be seen more than anything else. This is a reference over here that they're, the people that are going to be in charge are going to be very, very up high. But then they're thrown down in an anger right to the ground. Then the eastern wind will destroy their fruits. That refers to the eastern wind referring to Nebuchadnezzar and Babel. He's they'll break down and dry up all of their strength. Eshach alasu, when eaten by fire. Now it is planted within the desert of Eretz Tzia Vatzama, in the middle of a thirsty and barren, parched way. But eats all the fruit. That was the lamentation. All right, this gefen is clearly referring to Tzidkiah, the fruit from the tree that it refers to the children of Tzidkiah that were killed in front of Tzidkiah before he was blinded by Nebuchadnezzar. And before he was thrown into the land of Babel and thrown into jail for the rest of his life, Tzidkiah saw his kid's death and saw what was happening, and that was put together.
So what about what That's we talked about, how the grandchildren, what did we say, the grandchildren of evil people
ended up being? That was just to tell the people that even though they think that the world is unfair, don't think it's unfair. It just doesn't work in this generation. You go to the next generation, you'll see how it ends up going. So it's not the what. Don't worry about this. It'll be for the next. Something will work for the next. All right, Parakov. Parakov talks about the following. It's a history lesson. Hashem wanted to destroy us three times and didn't do so because they didn't keep mitzvos and they didn't keep Shabbos. Right, here we go. And I'll get. Then it's going to be at the very, very end. Right, there is going to be something that's terrible that's going to happen that's going to bring them together, and then they'll all be mine. So, in the seventh year, this must be Tzidkiah's reign. Do we have a little note that says that? Anybody on that one? Yeah, seventh year since Yehoyachin's galus. Okay, so we're dealing with Tzidkiah's reign in the seventh year out of the 11 years that he was king. The Chamishi, in the fifth month, the Asur l'Chodesh, that's the 10th of the month. Okay, so it's 10th of Av, coming up soon. Someday. Right, so the men, the elders of Yisrael, came to ask what God needed, and they sat in front of me. I'm assuming this is still in bubble, though it makes the most sense. But what should we do since Yehoyachin? Right, Vayidivar Hashem Elai Lamor. Ben Adam, that very Ziknei Yisrael, the Markalim, you should speak to the Ziknei Yisrael and say to them, Kol Hashem Elokim Halidroshos Yatimak. Did you come to ask me what to do? Chayinim Yadarish Lachem Nu Hashem Elokim. I will not tell you what to do. Hasishbot Osam. Did you judge them? Hasishbot Ben Adam Etzuavos Avosam Hodiyim. If you really want to see what to do, go tell them the abominations that their fathers did. The Markalim is what you say to them. Kol Hashem Elokim. The Yom Bachori Yisrael. When the day that I chose Bnei Yisrael, I say Yodilu Zera Beis Yaakov, and I lifted up my hand to take the children of Beis Yaakov from my own Bivadal and Dar. Eretz Mitzrayim. I let them know in the land of Mitzrayim. I let them know, saying, I am Hashem, your God. On that day, I brought them out from the land of Mitzrayim, the land that I spied out from them, that I took from for them, which is flowing with milk and honey. Tzvi hi l'chol aratos, the most beautiful of all the lands. Each man should throw away all their idols, their own idols that they have. Do not get involved in the idols of Mitzrayim. I am Hashem your God. They rebelled against me. They did not throw away their idols. They did not forsake all the stuff that in Mitzrayim. And I wanted to destroy all of them, to put my anger upon the Mitzrayim at Mitzrayim while they were in the land of Mitzrayim. But I did it for my own name, for my own sake. Said it wouldn't show in front of the eyes of the nations that they were within. I wanted to show them that I could take them out of Mitzrayim.
Wait a second.
Yes.
It might be semantics, but the Jewish people weren't actually the chosen people.
Not yet. Technically they were, because Avram was the Bechir of Hashem. He already had the promises. Bama'ida was already said. So he did know there were going to be the chosen people, even though they hadn't gotten the Torah yet.
Nasevenishma.
That was not done. That was not done. You're 100% right. But the chosen nation, as in Avram Avinu's children, were chosen. How many and which ones? That's Akasha. But that the fact that there were the Bnei Israel were eventually going to be the chosen nation was already happened. That already had happened. So there was a special hashkacha that was there, especially because they were the children of the Avos.
Hey, Christoph.
Yeah, what's up?
Avram was promised, so automatically has to go to Yitzchak, because Yitzchak was unpromised.
Well,
did it have to go to Yaakov? And say,
that was the Kasha. No.
Really promised?
That's exactly what we say in the Haggadah, that in theory, Esav could have been chosen with, if he would have walked with Yaakov. That's what he was saying when he said, I'll walk with you, come with me. Esav was saying, I'm willing to go with you, and Yaakov said, no, you go to Har Seir and I'll meet you there, meaning I'm not going to have anything to do with you at all. Had Esav put themselves in Golos with Yaakov, then they would also get this chos. But they didn't.
Point, Jesus would have said, no, I'm going to go with you wherever you go. I'm going to go.
The same way that Ruth did it to Naomi. A very, very similar type of story. Right? It's had that
been. Question B. Shmuel does it with Yitzhak when they bury Avram. So why does
he was willing to be lower than Yitzhak and let Yitzhak go first. He was never willing to be subservient to Yitzhak. Never willing to. Yitzchak. And Yitzchak.
Shmuel was.
Yeah, but why should Esav feel that he'd be subservient to Yaakov? Well, he didn't sell to the Korah, but that's
it's
why.
Not only that. It's because they saw, the end of the day, he took Rachel and Leah. Yaakov and Rachel were, Yitzchak and Rivka were both masking that Yaakov Avinu was going to be the one that's going to go in. That had already happened. Esav was already in the bad book, so to speak, in Yitzchak and Rivka's house. That's why he moved away already to Edom. That was his last chance. And when he chose that, it was better for us. To have a person like Esav around, we don't know what it would have been. Right? So it's better for us that Esav did not choose this way.
Let me assume it would have ended up good, because if you would have really stayed with us.
Maybe.
Only assume that people
Maybe they would have convinced more people to go off. Maybe there would have been worse things that happened. Listen, we don't know. We have to assume that this is the best plan for us, whether or not.
Yeah, no,
we just have to make that assumption. Assumptions there for us. We don't have any. Yeah, it's one of those like who knows.
It's interesting that God refers to them as.
What?
The Bechira.
The Bechor.
The Bechor.
I shouldn't say Bechor.
No way.
The ones that were Bokar.
What?
Right, even though the Torah wasn't given yet. But that's true, because Avraham Avinu was still there. So I took you out of Mitzrayim, even though I wanted to kill you then. I took them out of Mitzrayim and I brought them to the Midbar. I gave them my chukas and mishpat, my shayasos, and my odom achai behem, that people should do when they should live. I even gave them the concept of Shabbos. It would be a sign between me and them. To know that I'm Hashem, that's Makadosh Namayam, Rabbi Bnei Yisrael, but they still rebelled against me in the Midbar. They didn't go my ways, Lo Shem, also Asher Yasel, Sama Adam Achai Bahem. That Shabbosai Chilu Me'od. There were Machalom HaShabbos very much in the Midbar. I remember this from Victor Miller. It was amazing. They didn't do my laws? What laws didn't they do in the Midbar? What Hukim and Mishpatim did they not do in the Midbar? Chazal tell us all the time that they did everything right. But and it's still in Shabbosos, we have one story of Tzlafchad being the Mekoshesh Eitzim, and everybody went crazy on him. He was immediately killed. We have Dustin and Abiram going out on Shabbos to go get the mun, but they didn't even take any. They planned on taking out mun, but there was no mun to be taken. Right? They planned on carrying, but that didn't happen. And yet still it's called the Shabbososai Chulu Ma'od. So there's a Sefer, Ravigdor Miller writes it, and it's in the Sefer Doros Rishonim, that writes that it's Chulam Ode, because one case of Chilul Shabbos for the people in the Midbar was considered like it was crazy amounts of Chilul Shabbos. Even more so, right? Because Tzavchad even did it L'shem Shamayim.
Right.
And nonetheless, Chulam Ode. Unbelievable, right?
No. The Torah tells us that there was a Mekorosh Eitim. Ostensibly, it teaches that there's an Isser to collect wood and Shabbos in certain types of Malacha. Who says that there was a 38-year gap in the story of the Midbar? We don't know what happened then.
I mean, we are told about the bad things that happened throughout the Midbar. Right. All the bad things
rarely
that happened.
Do they write about good things?
Exactly. We don't
right,
see that.
But maybe it only has a selection of the bad things.
That's a Binyan Av. If it's a Binyan Av that tells us every single thing that Klal Yisrael did, which was seen by the eyes of a Kaddish Baruch Hu would be bad and punished them tremendously from it, is written down.
For us to realize.
You know how big of a deal it is to like find wood in the desert?
No. This is not a history book.
No,
this is not
point.
A history book.
That's my point.
So you're missing the point then. A binyan av by this idea is these are the ones that shows us what we're supposed to learn from. There's no point in writing that for 38 years they didn't sin. There's no point in doing that.
That's my point. That it didn't take them
like
30 years. Maybe they did sin then, but there's no reason for us to know about it, so it's ordered and recorded.
Always is something for us to learn about a sin. That's the whole point.
Then it can record every single sin in the history of Tanakh, but doesn't.
No, first of all, we do say quite often, especially by a person like Yoyakim that you just point out, by Yasser Rabbi and Hashem,
right,
we do point out more of that.
Not a single person did something.
Because you're not dealing with specific people in that sense, and especially not Navi. In the Chumash, though, we do go into individuals, and especially when it goes into these types of things. No, we know that there were the people that ended up doing this.
There was of all the maybe even millions of people living there, nobody else is telling significant other than those people who were written about in this book.
We have the kasha how they were able to do it even in the first place.
Can we look at this?
Yeah.
Can we say that when it says that they Shabbosai Filu, it's not just so the B'nos Lachad and the wood, it could have been a ton of things, and that was just singled out in the Torah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's what Binyamin is trying to say. No. And the simple reason why is because we do go through everything that B'nai Yisrael did. That's the point of what the Torah is trying to do. Anything bad that happened were all mentioned that were there.
Of course, I'm saying like this.
Yeah.
It says, Rashi says, some of the people went out to gather manna, and exceedingly...
Dustin Rav Yerim, dude, I already mentioned that.
Okay, right. So some of the people, it doesn't say just Dustin Rav Yerim, there's been more than
that. It is Dustin Rav Yerim. Dude, we have this in the Torah that's a pasuk.
It
says need Sabbath and need Simar, always Dustin Rav Yerim. So we know it's Dustin Rav Yerim.
It's true.
That's ridiculous.
Nothing ridiculous.
No, that's being ridiculous.
No, it's not. There's the Pashup Shot and there's the Gemara.
There's no Pashup. You have no idea. No, you have no idea what Pashup Shot is. You're dealing with Yotsumi Na'am in a Rashi to say that means that more than just Dustin Rav Yerim?
Or Midrash. Rashi's not making it up.
It's Anoshim that went out to go collect the man. We know that Nitzim and Nitzavim always refers to Dustin Rav Yerim. That's a Mitzora.
No, it didn't.
A Gemara is pure. That's garbage. I'm literally not taking a word you're saying. When you tell me that's a Gemara, I'm not listening to a word you're saying.
The redaction. The redaction.
That's
my point.
No, that's
the deal. That's the very first Shabbos.
Of course.
Very, as opposed to like any other Shabbos, subsequent Shabbos.
But that's the
very
point.
First one.
The point is, guys, we're dealing with the people that are sitting in the Midbar with Man, Be'er, Shomirim, and Anani Akavod.
You're right.
There is no way they could have done anything bad. We look at the Igla Zav and they immediately. We look at these things and we understand these are simple things in which each one of them, there were reasons for what they were doing. And the Torah explains, nonetheless, these were bad. The people, for the most part, for the 99.9% part, they were 100% good. They did everything they were supposed to do. The only time that we want to mention these things is in order to show, yes, there were certain things that happened, but for the most part, they had 78,600 judges that went around, that were taking care of people. There were police. They had
so
officers
judges,
of 10.
Why do you need so many judges unless there's... I'm just trying to...
They had officers of... No, that's ridiculous. We're taking the normal ideas. I'm going to bring down the ideas just from Victor Miller because it's the simplest. It's really the most simple idea of looking at it.
Would you call that push-up shot?
Yeah, for sure. There's no question about it. No, because real push-up shot, not the shot that people that don't have any mind think.
People
who don't have any mind. The idea is the purpose of the Torah mentioning any sins, any, is to be able to tell us that we have to learn from these things. That's the purpose of mentioning anything.
I agree.
We wouldn't say, thank you. We wouldn't say anything. We wouldn't say anything that would be needed, right? Unless there was a specific reason we're trying to tell you, here's what we need to know regarding this. The people here were Dor HaMidbor. This is a door of perfection. That's Zohar. Whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready. When we are, I know what it says in the Gemara, but the Gemara is something different. You're dealing with. Let's start from the beginning. These people were a perfect people who were chosen, hand-picked by God to receive the Torah, to be given miracles constantly, to be able to be together with Moshe Rabbeinu. These were not a rabble. There were people that were kicked out, that were around, that were not part of them. These were hand-picked people. Perfect people. Even the Erev Rav were people that are beyond our understanding, even though they were not on the level of regular Dor HaMidbor. On their level, Dor HaMidbor was not allowed to get Olam Haba because there were simple things that they knew that they messed up on. It's not like you're looking at your 10, you're looking at your 12 guys, you're trying to figure out, and those 10 guys are going to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. They knew what a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do. They saw it in the War of Amalek. They saw what a Kadosh Baruch Hu just did at Har Sinai. They're looking at the people. They had their own ideas, whatever they wanted, whether it's emotional, you know, or whatever it is that they had in their minds. The purpose of mentioning any chatoim is to show that no matter how well-intentioned you are still wrong. That's the purpose of every sin in the Midbar. No one else sinned because no one could. The purpose of all the dayanim were for that. And you're saying that it's because they did so many things bad. No. It's because
you can't rule out the other alternative.
You have dayanim that were made specifically by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's ridiculous to make 78,600 judges over 600,000 people.
Right.
He did 78,000 judges so that there would be somebody who would be a teacher for every 10 people. He would be 1 out of 10, then 1 out of every 50, 1 out of every 100, 1 out of every 1,000, on purpose to be able to show everybody, this is what you need to do.
That nobody sinned during those 38 years.
It means...
you can't know that.
You're right. You're right, and I hear you at the same time. But no, these people were so well watched and so well taken care of. There was no chance. You know what? Why don't we just take Bilam's word for it? Lo ra'isi oven b'Yisrael. He couldn't see any sins in Bnei Yisrael. There's nothing there. We have our worst enemy, saying that he's looking at Bnei Yisrael, trying to find something wrong, and he can't. There's nothing.
Well,
because people didn't do wrong.
It needs to be taken literally because the world seemed that they did wrong to me, as evidenced by what's written in the Torah.
He couldn't find it. Our worst enemy couldn't find it.
Well,
even those were still well-intentioned and good, but nonetheless wrong. That's the point of what Bilam's trying to say. See, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, our greatest friend and our beloved leader, who's looking at us and saying, I'm looking at you people, I'm showing you what you have, and I'm seeing you're doing this wrong and that wrong, like Devarim, look through Sefer Devarim and his Musar to Bnei Yisrael, our greatest friend is giving us our Musar, but our worst enemy can't find one thing wrong. Not one thing that he could get us on. Staring up in Yisrael and says,
so then
this is crazy.
Has a problem.
Matovo Alecha Yaakov. Mishkanosach Yisrael. So no, the point of this statement is what I said before. It's when it says, one case of Chilul Shabbos. One case
That's
of Chilul Shabbos. For these people,
it's
by far the greatest amount of Chilul Shabbos.
Not the
You're thinking quantitatively. I'm thinking qualitatively.
I'm saying, if you want to
get the
Shabbos,
but it's not
qualitatively.
It's a nice shot, but it's not a proof of any sort, or it's not a definitive. It's not. I mean, it doesn't disqualify the other explanation.
They must have done other things. They can't be
one explanation. Just like there's other explanations.
I hear you. It makes more sense that a safer that would be written, that would put down, these chataim, instead of only speaking about our goodness and ignoring the sins that are there, are clearly trying to point out everything that even this Dora Midbar did wrong. Could it be that people sinned otherwise? Yes, I guess it could be that there were other times that it happened.
The pasuk is proof that there were some other sins there.
So in all other places where we mention, like Bilam's line, where he could not see anything wrong at Bnei Yisrael, anything like that. So in that sense, if Yechezkel could see it 400 years later, 800 years later, 800 years later, Yechezkel could see it. Bilam at the time couldn't, when he's looking for an excuse, something bad.
So you're saying Bilam couldn't see it, but Moshe could.
Moshe was able to see it and saw it and told it to them. And right. Bilam couldn't see anything because right. even the things that Moshe saw, right. he couldn't find bad.
Right.
And Yechezkel could.
He's getting the Torah from Moshe.
Agreed.
That's all I'm saying.
So Hashem should be showing it to them.
You think the point is to tell them that they were Mechal Shabbos quite a few times in the Midbar? Is that the point? Read the pasuk again. Was that the point? The point is, even one bit of Chilul Shabbos is enough to be disgusting to me. Even that.
Why is that necessarily a point? If it's Shabbos Kotayt, Shabbos Chilulum at all.
Even that.
You're right. That's a possible shot. I'm just not discounting that.
I know.
I'm just saying that it doesn't
necessarily
qualify. That's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
That's the whole point. I understand what you're saying.
If there was a time throughout the Midbar when everybody was being Mechal Shabbos, why wouldn't we, and Hashem wanted to destroy them for it, why wouldn't we know about this?
I just understand why I use the word Mo.
How would we not know about this?
On Shabbos.
Come on.
It's one guy, one.
How would we not hear about it except for one pasuk in Yechezkel Perakov?
Sure, there's got to be some Rishonim who address that issue. Because
so if there is, show them to me. Until that point, the point of the Ma'od is like it is in all
the
pasuk.
The point of the Ma'od then would be the pasuk shot of the Ma'od, meaning like David said.
They have to do other stuff. Because otherwise, it's enough to say, they violated Shabbos. That's it.
And he took him out.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately after, gave him the law. And immediately after, they broke Shabbos.
The
Dora Midbar
came.
What's the point?
Came from. Only bad things, doing bad things in Mitzrayim, being around bad things in Mitzrayim.
It was the very first Shabbos.
So it's not far-fetched that they did bad things.
I know it's my pshat. Everybody brings my pshat. This is not like a crazy pshat. This is the push of pshat. This is like, it's obvious. That's the reason why all of them are written this way. Of course it's obvious.
No, it's not obvious.
I understand the pshat.
It throws it for a loop, because if he said Shabbos Kilu, it would make sense that something happened on Shabbos and he's upset. The Ode adds
is qualitatively, it was the worst thing that could have possibly happened.
Say the ego.
No, for Shabbos. It was the worst thing that could have happened regarding Shabbos. Of course that's what it means. You're thinking in numbers. It's ridiculous. All right, pause you down. So either way, he said, "Ba'omar lishpo chamasi alem ba'midbar v'chalosam." So I said, I want to throw my wrath upon them in the Midbar and destroy them for that. But I still on Shmi. I didn't want the other nations to see this. I brought them out in front of their eyes. And I lifted up my hand to them in the Midbar. I refused to bring them into the land that I gave, which was flowing with milk and honey. It's the most beautiful of the land. Because they despised my laws and they didn't go in my ways. They went after their own desires and their own drives of what they wanted to do. But nonetheless, I pitied them. I did not want to destroy them. I did not destroy them in the Midbar. And I said to their children in the desert, do not go in the ways of your fathers, those who died in the Midbar. Do not keep their ways. You should do them. Make sure my Shabbos is holy. That's Shabbos is like Kideshu, Kadeshu. My Shabbos, no.
Just come on, relax.
You're late, dude. My Shabbos is like Kadeshu, right? My Shabbos, you're holy. Again, you're late. Right? It'll be a sign between me and you. You'll know that I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu God. But the children then rebelled against me. These are referring to the door boyaret that came in. They do not keep my laws. So I wanted again to destroy them in the Mibor. This is in the 40th year. Right? I would not do that because of the nations that saw me take them out. I put my hand upon them in the Midbar. That they should be scattered among the nations and scattered among all the lands. That this should happen to them. Because they kept looking at the other idols that the other people had. I had to give them laws that they were not going to be happy with, and mishpatim that unfortunately they were not good with. And I was metami them with their own matanos, right? All the things that they tried giving, the havakol peterachim, and they gave their children over, right? Their own peterachim to Moloch, lamanas shimein, so that I would destroy them. Therefore, they would know that I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes the people only realized it after they saw the punishments that came in direct retaliation for their sins. Therefore, speak to these people, Yechezkel, to the old men that came to you. This is what your parents cursed me with, or made fun of me with, or did something bad to me with when they did those sins. I bought them the land that I swore that I would give to them. And they saw all the high hills and all the big thick trees. They sacrificed all their zvachim. They gave their angry korbanos, their korbanos out of anger for me, that obviously to Avodah Zarah. And they built their libations as well. All my land. What is this bama that you're doing? You're bringing over for that they call its name Bama, up until today, that the name Bama was used as a gnai, that the Bamos that they made for the different Avodah Zarahs were called Bamas because it's Bama. What is this? Are you still being metami yourselves in the ways of your fathers? Are you still going after the idols that they have while you're here in Babel? When you bring your gifts, when you pass your sons through fire, you're still doing these idols until today. But he does not be
so.
I doubt it's actually Moloch. Adam Melech is probably the one, the king of Ammon, the idol of Ammon is probably what they were doing. I doubt it was actually Moloch itself. But we did see that Yeshaya did mention Moloch before. But Chayaninu Hashem Elokim, imi darish lachem. Right? If I ever am going to really give you what you need to do, what comes up upon your heart that you want me to give you what to do, never happened. So at the moment, you think you want to be like the other nations, then do what they do and serve the wood and the stone. It's going to happen, and I will be king over you, but it's going to happen with a strong hand and an outstretched arm and with mighty wrath. It's going to happen. I'll take you out from the nations, and I'll gather you from among all the lands that you were scattered in. I'll bring you to the desert of all the nations, and I will judge you there face to face. The same way I judge your father in the desert outside of the land of Mitzrayim, so too I will do to you. I'll bring you under the rod, meaning I'll give you Yisurin. And I'll bring you through a Yisurin filled bris. I will choose from among you the rebellions, the rebellious people and the sinners against me, from the land that they grew up. I will take them out. They will not come to the land of Yisrael. Those who are born that way, and you'll know that I got them. Each man can go serve their own idols. And after that, since you're not listening to me, they will no longer, right, for profane my name, right, with all your matzanos and your yilulim. Ki, the har kochim is har marom Yisrael, on my holy mountain, on the mountain that's up there in Yisrael, obviously referring to har Moriah. Yuma Hashem Elokim, Shom Yavduni Kol Yisrael, that's where Bnei Yisrael is going to serve me. Kulo ba'aretz, Shom Etzayim, that's where I will desire them. Shom Endroshes Trumos Seichem, that's where I'm going to look for their trumos, their gifts, that's gracious Maso Seichem, and all their, the things that they bring, the whole Kach Seichem. Finally, I'll be able to get your kachim. The Rech Nichoach Eretz Eschem, with that Rech Nichoach, I'm going to be appeased. You build Tziosam Eretz Mina Amin, Mikibatzias Kamina Arasso, Shinafotso Sambam, Vinikadji Bechem Leine Agoyim, and I will have a Kiddush Hashem among all the nations in the eyes of the nation. Vidatim Kiani Hashem Daviyosam Eschem Elaz Vesol. You'll know that I'm God when I bring you to the land of Yisrael, Arsh and Asosias Yodi Lassisla, Osol Aposhechem, that I had sworn to give to your fathers. As Chartim Shamas Darchechem, you will remember your ways as Kolil Sechem and all your evils. Hashem Mesim Abbe became Tommy with him, Kotosim Bitnechem, you're going to cut them down in front of the Kodos Sechem, Asher Asisim with all your evil that you've done. Vidatim Kiani Hashem Basosi Yitchem, Laman Shmi, Loki Darchechem, Rahim Balil Sechem, and Yishrasos, not like your evil ways, and like your destructive practices. Based on Numa Shem Elkin, that which Based Israel does, says God, that's not going to happen anymore. That's going to be the final. That's the line that he told over those Akanim who were looking for direction. And Yechezkel told them, you're not ready for direction. You're not ready to ask for these right things. That's going to be bad. And now we're going to talk about the forest. There's going to be a complaint about the base of Mikdash, and we're going to see that the Tzaddikim will be destroyed for their Shayim. And in the end, we're going to see that Tzidkiah goes down, and Amon is destroyed as well. Amon, if you'll remember, is the one that tried to kill Gedalia ben, or killed, I should say, Gedalia ben Achikam. When Gedalia became the governor, they wanted to take over the land, so they sent over Yishmael ben Asaniah to do it. I want you to face to the south. Derech Teimon refers to Eretz Yisrael, which was the south of Babel. Now, a little bit of an issue with that is,
yeah,
is that Yerushalayim may be a little bit south of Babel, but for the most part, Babel is direct east of Eretz Yisrael. It's a little east and weird to say that. South of Babel,
north
of where they were, is sort of, I mean, sort of there. We've always
why would they use, like, north?
We've always learned before that Babel came from the north because the only way for them to get to Eretz Yisrael instead of going through the deserts is to go up the Euphrates River and to go around and to go straight down through Lebanon. That was the normal way to get into Eretz Yisrael, so that's why they're always known as the north. But to call Yerushalayim to the south,
Syria, though, at that time could have been Babel.
Syria was not Babel. No, Babel was around the rivers. Around the rivers, Euphrates and Tigris.
The empire itself, did they grow into
there's no question, Babel did take over a lot of that land.
So maybe that's
what?
It means south of where the army is coming from.
With
Babel, south of where the Babylonian army is.
It's weird that he'd put your face to the south. It's weird to the south of where the army is coming from. It's true, but it's not, even Jerusalem is really to the west. To Babel, west.
And west, but west.
Yes, to west.
We know that we refer to Jerusalem as south.
We know that Babel is called the north. Never seen Yerushalayim as the south. Now, obviously, if that's the north, and you think that's the south.
It's not shot whatsoever, and more. But like, don't certain things come from the different side? Like evil winds tend to come from different.
Well, south is normally not evil, though.
South is where your head's supposed to be. East is where. North is where bad things come.
North is the bad. All right, Nunu, Batekel Dorom. Mina Veil Yar Hasod de Negev. I want you to prophesy about the base of Mikdash, the forest of the field that's also referring to Yerushalayim. The Martel Yar Negev, you'll see the forest of the south. Shema Dvar Hashem, listen to the word of God. Kol Mar Hashem Elokim. Hei Masiz B'chol Ish. I'm going to light up for you a fire of Achla B'chol Kol Itzlach. All the white trees, B'chol Itzlach, and all the dry trees, Lo Sechab, Lo Sebel Ahavet Shal Havet. That flame is going to go completely. It's going to consume the entire base of Mikdash, and it's going to be entirely gone. The Nitzrebu Ba Kol Panim Negev Safona. And it's going to break out all the areas that are around from the south toward the north. All the people will see that I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I will consume it. It will never be extinguished, that fire. God, everybody's telling me that I'm just giving Mishalim, right? Nobody's understanding what I'm talking about. I'm saying there's a forest, there's trees, but they're not understanding what I'm talking about. They don't realize that I'm talking about the basement. All right, stop it, all right? speak about Yerushalayim, which is to the south. Hatet al Mikdoshin, speak about the base of Mikdash. Vinavi al Mitzrayim, prophesy about the land of Israel. Amartel al Mitzrayim, kol Hashem, kini elayich v'otzei chavim mitar. I'm going to take out my sword from its sheath. Vichrati minech tzadik v'rosh. I'm going to destroy all tzadikim and all rishayim. That's the wet branches and the dry branches. Yanasher chrati minech tzadik v'rosh. Lachem tete chavim mitar. All kol basu negev tzafon. Every person that's from the south of that north. V'yadu kol basu v'yani Hashem. Tete chavim mitar. I'll take out my sword from that sheath. Will sashuv odu. Will never come back again. That's a ben adam. Hey anach b'shibro masnayim. Groan with a broken loin. B'mriru stanach leinam. And with that bitterness, you should sigh in front of their eyes. And when they say to you, telling them to sigh and to groan, they say to you, why are you groaning? What's wrong, Yechezko? What are you feeling about? Marta El Shmuel Kibal. The bad news is about to come. The Namitz Kolev, every heart will melt. Every hand will be weak. Yechezko Ruach, every wind will be blinded. Is that the right word for it? I don't know. Weakened or darkened. Chol Birkayim Telach Namayim. All knees will be filled with water. They'll be like jelly. This is what's going to happen. Weakened. Okay, that makes sense. Here's what you're going to say. Kol Hashem Elokim. Kol Hashem Elokim or Elokim? No. That's a weird word. Yeah, but look at that. Isn't that... It's a segel under the yud. Everybody have that? Is that a segel or a shva? In Yudalit.
Shva.
You have a shva? You don't have a segel? Does everybody have that? What do you guys have? That's the weirdest thing in the world. You do have a... That is the weirdest thing in the world. Wait, what word do you guys have? Do you have Yud Kei Vav Kei or Aleph Dalet Nun Yud?
Aleph Dalet Nun
Yud.
You guys have Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. You have Yud Kei Vav Kei. I have Yud Kei Vav Kei also, but it's spelled with a
surprise that you said it like that.
That might just be a typo.
That's right. I guess so, because it has the shma there. Either way, there must be a mistake.
That's
do you have the mesoris?
I
hear you.
The wrong pasuk.
Wait, look at Niyadalit. Is there anything around that has a little bit? Somebody has. Oh, Minchas Shai.
The Targum says Hashem Elokim.
Oh, look. Yeah, I got it over here. The Miksa Sfarim Ksav Yad Ksiv Komar Adonoi Elohim with Yud Kei Vav Kei. I mean, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Yud Kei Vav Kei, pronounces Elokim. The Gambit Pus Yashin Yesha Ara Mechil of Zeh. The Chain Hu Vitargum. That's what the Targum says? Look at the Targum.
Elokim. And Tamar says Hashem Elokim.
Yud Dalet, Tamar Kidnan, Omar Hashem Elokim. Shabbos Farm made okay, but the other farm don't have it. Interesting. Okay, so.
I know the catch around the
soul. Yeah, see what the real stuff is. I have Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yeah, Emor. Cherev, cherev, uchadov gamruta. Sword, should be sharpened and unsheathed. In order to start a slaughter, it should be sharpened. In order for there to be. I don't know what you want to say with that. Morata is really like. Should be unsheathed, and it'll be like lightning when it's unsheathed. The rod of my son who despises all wood. That's the idea. Should we be happy when all this is happening? And he put it Lamorto. What do you got?
In English, like in the brackets. Mm-hmm. The staff that beats my son scorns.
He despises every wood. Rashi says, Shevet Shnei Makabo, the rod that I used to hit with as Bani Liasor in order to give him Yisurin, you know, to, whatever, Mikol HaShvatim, it's Kashim Mikol HaShvatim, it's the worst of all the rods. Moasisi, you hate it. Mikas Kolmata from any other Makabo. Kolayt Ki Enemet Zolaklum, right? Because they're not used for anything at all. So in other words, like this, you hate the rod that punishes your own child.
Yeah.
Granted, he needs it, but nonetheless, it's not like you like to punish your child. You know, the realization is that he needs it, right? And that's what it says. So it's Vayitin Osa Lamorta means it's used in order to do that punishment, right? Or to sharpen it. Or what would it be? Lamorta Lispos Bakov. It's used in order to unsheathe it and to be able to hold it in your hands. Hiukada, it was sharpened. Chered, Himorata, Lasubiad Horig. And they put it into the hands of the killer, so to speak. Zak the Halil Ben Adam. Therefore, cry out and groan, son of man. Ki Haisabami, Hibachol Nitzi Yisrael. This is going to happen among all the Tzadikim of Bnei Yisrael. They're going to go to the sword, and that's why you should flap your thigh, because all the terrible things are going to happen to the tzaddikim. We're going to die for this. ki bochan. Bochan rab b'tzar sharporni is harbe nivchana behen shvot medever v'rabachaya. Because this is a test. U'mayim gam shevet mo'ases. Lo yiyeh numa shem elokim. Right? If they despise, right, the rod that's being done, will that not be? How do you translate that exactly? How is that translated by your English, the English farm? What's the exact translation that you guys have for it?
Okay.
Yeah, Yudchas.
Hold on.
Therefore, clap, hand against thigh.
That's the end of 17.
For it is testing what will be if the sword scorns even this rod. It will not be the word of the Lord Hashem our God.
It will not be. I don't know exactly. I don't even know how that translates.
Yeah, I'm looking at
20 out over here. What's 18 over here? What does he say? It says, the burnished sword, a metaphor for the warnings of the prophets, was meant to frighten the people to do tshuva. But what good would that be if the sword refrains from punishing the Jewish rod, the nation? So all the warnings will have been wasted. That's how the Radak understands it. The Radak is saying that if you're going to have that, somehow... Yeah, Yechezkel has to say it over to the people. What's the point if they're not going to hear it straight from you?
Why the thigh? That's so random.
And that's what they used to do for lamenting. They used to, like, do that for lamentations.
They used to make music that way, too.
I think they did, like a mourning dirge, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, that used to be to that. But I'm not positive about that stuff. That's happened to Novi v'ha kapel kaf. Now it's getting worse. He's telling the person to Yechezkel, prophesy and clap your hands, v'sikofel, and do it again. Cherev shlishisa cherev halon. There will be a third sword that comes about that is going to make corpses. Yicherev halal agadol chodetis lohem. That is going to be something terrible for all of them. Maybe this is referring to Muzaradon.
Is that why you'll randomly hear in North France or something clapping?
No. I was wondering about that. Why? Do I think
like, and then if you're like an autopilot,
you know what it
like,
is?
Shoot, I completely forgot where I'm at. I got
you know what that is? When the Kohen Gadol would go inside the base of Mikdash and he'd wear the Me'il, he'd have the bells on it to announce his coming into the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's why the people
so
clap.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You were the only one in the Kodesh HaKadosh. One of the guys in Shoulder.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with it. I'm just saying that's why they do it. They do it as the... Yeah, it's Breslov. Yeah, Ramachman used to... I don't know if Renachman speaks about it, but I've seen in the breast of Shul in Tzatz, all the people do it. Everybody's
what,
around.
What point do you do it?
I guess they first go up to a mire and a lot of people
are watching it. All of a sudden,
I don't know. No, they do it all the time.
In Bainlaw, the only one that was
do they really? They do that also? That's interesting.
But, and also, Ray Torska should do it. Not everybody. Now, Ray Torska doesn't do it.
In Milwaukee?
But, yeah. Not Ray Torska. Ray Torska doesn't do it, but people there do it.
That I never heard.
No, they loved you when you were in the first book of Meyer. Oh, I don't know why. Yeah.
You know what? We'd have to check that up. I don't know. I don't know why they would do that. That's interesting, though. But maybe there must be, if he's not telling people to stop, there must be something to it. There must be a reason why. All right, you know.
Huge crowd, like 3-4 people.
We'll see. Oh, but, you know. But still, Leman Lamug Lave. Now, the whole point of this is in order to melt the hearts of Habe Mechshom Akosha Areyem. Right? There's so many stumbling blocks on all their gates. And Sati Ivchas Karva, I'm going to bring a slaughtering of the sword. Och Asui Levarak Mu'uta Lutavach, ready for the slaughter. He's Achad Yehemini. Right, get together and we'll go to the right. Asimi Asmili, then go to the left. Anapanayach Mu'ados. Where are we supposed to go? Kani Akka Kapi Okapi, even I. This is a Kaddish Baruch. I'm going to slap my hands together. At that point, my wrath will abate. It could be that these three swords refer to the three times when there's, you know, destruction in the first base, destruction in the second base, and the Mohammed's Gog Magog. I personally think that it's more a reference to what was happening by this first base of Mikdash, the three times when there was a little bit of a battle and people were dying.
What about the three times you just mentioned in the last
piece? Yeah, I would assume that's what it's referring to. That's referring to this three times. There are two ways for the sword of the king of Babel to come. Eretz Echad Yetzu Shneim. From one land will come both of these ways. Yod Barei Barosh Derech Ir Barei. It will be an open hand right in the top of the top of the road. Right, Ir Barei, an open city. Derech Sassim Levol Cherev. There will be a road, a path for that sword to come. It's Rabbas Ben Ammon. By Rabbas Ben Ammon, that's the city of the Ben Ammon. That's where the crib of Og Melech Habashan is in this week's parsha. That's Yehuda Yerushalayim Bitzura, and the Jews in Yerushalayim were then sieged. Ki Amar Melech Bavel Aim HaDerech. The king of Bubble stood on the crossroads, Broshnea Drachim Lixon cost them, and he did magic to figure out which way to go. Kilkabachitzim Shalva Trupim, he used arrows, he asked the omens, Rabba Kaved, and he looked at his liver? I don't know what that means. Oh, yeah, there's magic that's done with the liver. That's amazing. I haven't done that.
So
Bimino Hayakazim Yerushalayim. In his right hand, he saw the magic went to Yerushalayim, Lassum Karim Liftoch Peberetzach, to make generals and to open up and start murdering, Laharim Kol Betrua, and start shouting out loud, Lassum Karim Al Sha'arim, to put all these generals upon the gates, Lishbok Solul Libnos Dayek, to put them all by the sea tribe, Hainla Kiksam Shabbeinayim. They're going to think that it's false, Shavui Shavuos Lahem, like oats to them, right? Behu Mazkir Avon Litafeith, and it's mentioning the sins of what they could be captured for, Lachin Kol Mar Shamalakin, Yanis Karchem, as Karchem, Avonchem, the Galus Pishachem, when you remember your sins, right? When you remember that you were exiled because of your sins, Leiroz Katosechem, Acholi Losechem, Yanis Acharchem, Bakapti Tafeithu, that's when you'll be captured. Batachalol, Rosh Nisi Yisrael, then Cholol Rosh Nisi Yisrael, the corpse of the Russia, the prince of the Jews, that refers to Sidkia, I would assume, Rosh says Sidkia, his time will come at that moment. Koamar Hashem Elokim, Hoser Mitznefes V'Harim Atara, take off the veil, remove the crown. Zos Lo Zos, this will not be good. Hashafola Hadbei, the lower ones will be raised high. That's Gedaliah is going to be made king. Hagavoa Yishpil, the higher one, Sidkia, is going to be put down. Avo Avo Avo. Rashi says Loshen E Hasada Loshen Churva Acher Churva. There's going to be destruction after destruction after destruction. Until the day of Mishpat, then I'm going to make it happen. We'll end this parak like this. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And their degradation, they're the ones that killed Gedaliah. They're going to get the sword. It's going to be open for slaughter. For that, you know, with all that that fiery, whatever it is. When you saw these falsehoods, when you did these magics that are lies, when you put yourself upon the necks of the corpse of the Rosh Hashanah at the time where it ends, put it back into the sheath, that's what I'm going to judge you, my anger is going to go upon you, when I'm going to put you in the hands of men that are going to destroy you. Remember at the end of Yirmiyah spoke about what was going to happen to Ammon. Maybe Yechezkel is calling this from the beginning, right? Your blood will be throughout the land. You'll never be remembered again. And I have spoken from it. All right, we're up to Parachav Beis over here. And that is that.